My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
I'm here finally.
I guess this is our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, December 22nd. So, yeah, Merry Christmas,
sure.
Everybody.
Not exactly a Christmas film.
No, but maybe a movie to see with your intelligent relatives over your holiday.
Yeah.
Are your people smart? You could take them to see Downsizing by Alexander Payne.
Honestly, didn't even know this movie existed until Sean told me we were going to screen it.
You thought it was a gritty reboot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I did.
Yeah.
I thought it was. And then pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Oddly surprised.
It's an interesting one. Mm. We'll tell you all about it this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Make sure that you subscribe to it. Give them a rating and a review. If you like the episode, just share it. It like takes a second to click that button. And then you can catch me on Add It Up with Your Best Friend Addie, where I interview musicians and comics, just anybody I find entertaining, sometimes including Sean and Aaron. And we tackle a different topic every episode. So come and laugh along with us.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, December 22nd, 2017.
Merry Christmas. That's a...
I'm trying to think if I've seen a new Christmas movie. I'm trying to think of... I'm like, what's the Christmas classic that I have to talk about? Like, 2 years ago, I finally watched Miracle on 34th Street. That
the
one's
old one.
Good. Yeah, the old one. That's good.
My kids watch Christmas movies nonstop. We've been playing Christmas music in my house since the day after Thanksgiving, since Black Friday.
You know what I decided this year?
You know
year?
My house was fully decorated by,
oh
by,
my God.
By Black Friday. Like, it was already decorated before December 1st.
You know what I decided? I hate Christmas music,
yeah.
But I wanted to get into, you know, it's nice that people are enthusiastic that they have a time of year for a certain type of music.
Yeah.
So I decided that from now on, I'm just going to listen to metal every December. That's going to be where I go really hard on metal. So I've been listening to Iron Maiden for a week.
And maybe some Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
They were a real metal band.
They get a little metal.
Yeah, no, well, they were, I forget the name, but they were a real legit metal band and then figured out the money is in the holidays.
Yeah, I saw... Now, look, I've never seen them live. I've heard their music, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah.
I randomly caught a commercial, like, hey, mm-hmm. come see us live.
Yeah.
It looked like Pantera.
Yes.
There's pyrotechnics
mm-hmm.
and, like, flames shooting out of the stage. I'm
right.
like, I thought this was about, like, I thought there was going to be just, like, a frozen train and, like.
No. It's the most palatable metal in the world. It is like. It seems
really odd.
It seems dangerous if you're, you know, 52 and live.
It's like Christmas in George Miller's
home.
World.
Yes.
For you cinephiles.
So, Miracle. Yeah, I guess I should finally watch Elf this year. I've never seen Elf.
Dude, Elf is very funny.
I believe it.
Zoe Deschanel? Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's delightful.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's very funny. James Caan plays his father. Very good.
I'm trying to figure out.
That's a funny, good Christmas movie.
For a radio segment that will be 3 weeks old by the time this episode comes out, I'm trying to figure out what my top five holiday movies are, and I don't know.
We'll talk.
I mean, it's Christmas Vacation is one.
It's one.
And then, like, I know that Love
is this
Actually
is... Because, look, we're not going to talk about Downsizing for 45
okay,
minutes.
This is Extra Butter Goes First.
Extra
favorite
Butter
Christmas
Goes
movies.
First. Top
there,
five
see,
Christmas
is,
movies.
This is our holiday episode. Yeah, help me out with this. I mean, Christmas
Vacation.
That's the only movie I watch once a year.
Now, if you're talking about me, I mean, I like,
I can name my personal Christmas movies.
Okay,
but
go
if you're
ahead.
Talking top five of all time,
no, that well, we know that. What's your
well,
personal?
I'm throwing them out there. I mean, I love Jingle All the Way. All
right,
Sinbad, Phil Hartman, and Arnold,
Late.
All funny.
Sinbad is great.
He's funny in that. So is Phil Hartman.
I saw Sinbad this year, and he was killer.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Jingle All the Way.
I really like Bill Murray Scrooged.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, love it.
If I wasn't watching...
Bobcat Goldthwait is in there.
If I wasn't watching 100 Oscar bait movies this week, I would look for that one. Sure.
Well, you could... Home Alone. I mean, Home Alone is...
Yeah,
I watched that
good.
With my kids, and it's fun. It's a fun holiday movie, you know?
I mean, after Christmas Vacation, Love Actually is definitely on my list.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's always been one of my favorite movies. Have you seen Love Actually?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Why does that make a Christmas list?
It's a Christmas movie. It's all about
There's
Christmas.
There's so many more.
So
really?
Many more what?
Better Christmas movies.
Oh, no. That's been like, I was low-key obsessed with that movie when it came out. I've seen that movie 20 times.
What?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, hey. Personal picks.
Hey,
okay.
Yeah.
I would never.
You wouldn't have. Didn't see that coming?
No.
No. Okay.
God
so
bless you and your sensitive heart.
That's. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit
I mean,
of an
fits.
Emo kid.
It
hey,
fits.
What
that's
can
fine.
You do?
It fits.
And yeah, Die Hard's in my top five.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you say Christmas movies, I say, like, hey, let's sit around as a family and watch it. But then again, my whole family would sit around and watch Die Hard. I mean, Die Hard's my favorite action movie of all time. And it 100% is a Christmas movie.
Yes. Yeah. And it's here's the thing. Some people debate that. If Christmas is integral to the plot, it's a Christmas movie.
Kind of, yeah. It is. It's a Christmas party.
And if it happens at Christmas, it's to me, it's a Christmas movie. It doesn't have to be about the spirit of the season
sure.
to be a Christmas movie. I completely buy that. I don't know after that. Other than those three, I don't know. Like, maybe Home Alone would sneak onto my top
five.
Well,
and people were going to throw in, Rudolph and, you know, stuff like that. All the claymations.
Yeah. I didn't. I finally saw Gremlins. I wasn't crazy about it.
One of my faves.
Yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol, dude.
Oh, yeah. That
so
might make
funny.
My list. That might make my list.
That's very funny.
That's an great music.
Yes.
That's kind
that's
of.
That's one of the. That's in one of the best Muppet movies.
Yes.
Also, Muppet Treasure Island, hysterical.
Is it?
Oh, dude, so funny. So that Muppet Treasure Island.
I mean, I've seen it.
Muppet Treasure Island may be my favorite Muppet movie.
Really,
dude, it's
not,
hilarious.
Not the Muppet movie.
Nope. I mean, it's good. It's great. But Muppet Treasure Island is hilarious.
I don't know what hilarious. Five would be. I mean, yeah, probably.
I think a lot of people will say Elf.
I know that a lot of people
has Sean seen it.
Elf? No.
He has
Sean
not,
has
seen,
not
Elf.
Seen Elf.
Or Scrooged.
Esquire counts Edward Scissorhands as a Christmas movie. That's a little bit of a
that's
a
stretching
stretch.
It. They Christmas happens in that movie.
Yeah.
Over a period of time.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know.
But yet.
It's a Wonderful Life.
People say that, and it's a good film.
Yeah.
I know our friend, frequent guest Chris Prex, that's one of his favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
I get it. And that is, and people wouldn't say, they would include that on their list, I think. If you were making a top 10, you would include Miracle on 34th Street. You would include This is a Wonderful Life, I think. You would. No?
You know what? Yes. You know what a lot of people go to that I'm not on board with is Bad Santa. I'm sorry. It's not really any good.
No, it's not that good.
I feel Bad
who
Santa.
That? Who you should not be friends with them.
No, I know a lot of people who really like it. Our mutual friend Billy Gardell is in. That was one of his first movie roles, and I'm very happy for him.
You could be in movies and they suck.
Yeah, it
you
wasn't
paid
that
your
good.
Mortgage.
You know, it had some laughs. It had some
fine.
You know misanthropic
sure, sure.
laughs,
sure.
But
they made a second one of those.
Oh, that was real bad.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
I saw the screening.
Oh, you said it was really bad.
It was terrible.
Oh, boy.
They're
like, hey, remember how this was marginally funny 12 years ago?
Yeah, and it came out now where I'm like, again, this is the time of year where I watch like two or three.
People are like, Billy Bob Thornton who?
Two or three movies that want to be nominated for Oscars I watch a day at this time of year. And I remember last year I had to take a break from that to watch Bad Santa 2.
Yeah.
I was like, really? I could have been. I mean, I would like to sometime revisit Nightmare Before Christmas. I haven't seen it since I was
a
kid. The music is great. It's you know, beautiful animation. I just don't know if it would hold up for an adult. I'd be curious about that. And here's
Bad Santa 2. I'm just laughing about that.
Here's what we're forgetting.
No
is,
Bernie Mac.
Well, yeah. We haven't talked about A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah. I get in trouble for that.
I think we'll both get in trouble for that. That's you want to talk about something that should have been in our overrated movies week.
I agree. I think it's very overrated.
It has its moments.
It's fine.
You want to know what it is?
My sister, it's probably her favorite Christmas movie of all time.
I
think that's fine.
It's a second-rate Wonder Years.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's try to capture that, and they didn't really do it.
Well,
there's some really funny stretches. There's some very good performances. We know. I'm going to forget. Are we both going to forget the name of the guy who was in the movie and lives in Pittsburgh now and is at Arcade all the time? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who played Ralphie's little brother? Now lives in Pittsburgh.
Scott Schwartz.
That's him.
No, that's Flick.
In any case.
I don't remember.
Sorry. I've done Knights of the Arcade with him.
I just saw Zach Ward. Zach Ward is in American Horror Story.
Oh, Cult. How about that?
He was Scott Farkas.
I don't get the love for it. I don't know. Like, the fact that it plays for 24 hours on TBS or whatever, I don't get it. I mean, it would not. I'm having trouble coming up with my top five favorite Christmas movies, and A Christmas Story wouldn't be in my top 10. It just wouldn't. It's fine. It's an okay movie.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do a list on radio and not include A Christmas Story.
I'm going to nod, and I'm going to wait for someone to call me out.
Well, I think Christmas Story might be, to speak your language, might be someone's Goonies.
Yeah.
Goonies still is really good.
It's not. If you grew up with it, again, that's like you said, if you grew up with it, Christmas Story, that's the movie.
I mean,
my family started watching Christmas Vacation like when I was 9 and my brother was 5.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one we grew up with. And it's a lot better.
I was going to say, I know that, like, I wonder, though, does Wonder Years rip that off? Because that's 1983.
When did Wonder Years start?
Like, 87, maybe?
I thought Wonder Years started in the 70s.
No, it took place in the 60s. It
took place in the 50s.
No, it took place during Vietnam, late 60s.
No, you're right. It did take place during Vietnam.
Yeah, late 60s.
Wonder Years, Tracks Life. No, you're right. First episode was 88.
88, yeah.
Okay.
And Christmas Story is 83.
So
now, I mean, they make Christmas Story very like it takes place, you know.
Yeah.
They even film it like an old movie.
Yes. Okay, so.
There is some.
I will withdraw my comment.
No, but you're not, you know.
But in terms of quality, if you like A Christmas Story, three good episodes of The Wonder Years are better than A Christmas Story. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So I guess I might revise this. Right now I would say Christmas Vacation is number one. Love Actually is number two. I'm serious. I'd probably
number two Christmas movie?
Love Moulin Rouge. If you want to talk about early 2000s sap fests.
I love Moulin Rouge because the music is very good.
Uh-huh.
Baz Luhrmann's a genius.
He is.
His art direction is incredible, especially in Moulin Rouge. And it's also one of my wife's favorite films that we use that version of your song as our wedding song. So.
But you still.
Love Actually and Goonies? Come on,
dude. You still like the movie.
It's fine. Yeah. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What I'm saying is. Like,
great. The cast of Love Actually.
Sure.
Bill Nighy and Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, Hugh Grant. It's great.
Okay.
It's great.
All right. It's just a little high on a Christmas list.
Number two.
A little high.
Then I probably end up with Die Hard at 3.
I'm such a dad right now. I can't even even Die Hard is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I still just keep thinking of these little kid Christmas movies.
Yeah, and then like Home Alone and Muppet Christmas Carol are four and five.
I guess I do see Christmas movies now. Like you can sit around with your family and watch
Christmas
movies.
You're looking at them through different eyes now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want something to actually like activate a tiny bit of the Christmas spirit in me, which is not a non-existent
thing.
Trust me. I'm not a holidays guy.
Where you're at in your life,
yeah.
I miss those times on December 23rd when six friends come over and we're like, let's open a bottle of whiskey,
yeah.
get some snacks,
yeah.
and watch a Christmas movie, and we pick Die Hard and Love Actually.
This is the podcast.
I don't live in that world
this
anymore.
This is the podcast we should be doing. Like
we are.
The two roads diverged in a wood.
Christmas movies slash downsizing.
Right.
So we're at about 15 minutes.
No. I'm saying that.
So let's go to downside.
I'm saying that you know, there's something fascinating happening with the fact that you and I are basically like, this is what life is like for the guy
yes.
who decided not to have kids and, you
yeah.
know, it still had different relationships in his 30s.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what life is like for the guy who.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are all of my friends are like. Comedy yep. duo movies.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes.
when I go on the road with a comedian
like,
who's single with no kids,
yeah.
when I do a podcast with a comedian that's single with no kids.
And what bothers me, or maybe we're just wasting time and
yep.
we should make money, is like, like you and I could come up with 100 plots for a movie script.
Yes.
And if we wrote a dumb movie about like, you have to live my life and I have to live yours for seven, and it's all about babies peeing and, you know, you like eating nachos on the couch.
I wrote that treatment.
Yeah. Like that's the one that would hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you already got one of these at home.
Yeah, I actually do.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to, I mean, there's too many movie people that listen to us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin all my gold.
Hey, by the way, what? I don't know what's going on. Our geography, our geotags are crazy. If you are listening to this in another country, just tweet at me. Just confirm that that's you.
Yeah.
Because, like, we have, like, Pittsburgh is down to number three on our list at this point behind, like, Tokyo, and it was, like, Omaha or
confused.
Something.
Yeah.
So if you're overseas... which I understand
on
is
Twitter.
An America-centric term. I'm sorry. Tweet it at Truth Podcast or at Sean Collier
yeah.
PGH. If you're one of our listeners from Tokyo, Ohio gazaimasu. Tweet at your trans-Pacific boys.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
you know, on my podcast, Grown
yeah.
Dad Business with Jason Clark.
Yeah, that's a good one.
France likes me.
Okay.
Apparently, France likes laughing about Grown Dad Business.
Hey, you're look.
Got some France.
Jerry Lewis died. They needed somebody new. They went to you.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Whew. I would love that money.
Start doing some telethons and just get cranky.
What did we see tonight?
We saw Downsizing.
That was, you know what? That was a good extra butter
that was
up
a good,
front.
Right, because the moment we started recording, we realized this was the Christmas
best
episode.
Best Christmas movie / Downsizing.
Yeah, that's how I'll title this episode.
This is a cute film.
Cute?
Sure.
You'd go to cute? Yeah, I'm not arguing. I'm saying, yeah, it could. It's
like I said, I didn't know anything about this movie.
Yeah, you went in completely blind.
But then Sean said, "Oh, Alexander Payne," and mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh, it's going to be weird."
Yeah,
it's not. It's just it lives in a different world. I think Alexander Payne kind of is on that playing field with like the Coen brothers. Where
yeah.
he kind of creates this world that seems real but a tiny bit far-fetched. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this world, obviously, in Downsizing is extremely far-fetched.
Yeah. Let's set it up. If you
but it's always that, like,
it's very
this
plausible.
Is real life, but
yeah.
it's not.
I always have trouble with his movies because he kind of just doesn't give a fuck about, like...
Tone
or structure. You can't put a genre on this. You can't say, oh, this was drama or comedy or satire or sci-fi. It's kind of like...
No, you're right.
Has moments
there are a
all
couple
the
films of his that, especially this one, mm-hmm. where act to act, it could be a totally different movie.
Yes. And...
Like this, where Downsizing goes, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to your point, there aren't really acts. Like,
no.
we you know, he presents something and then explores it for a while.
Actually, there are three clear acts of this, but go ahead.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay. To me, it's, well, okay, now you're right. But but it definitely takes its time and
yes.
doesn't tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end that
right.
you would, it just kind of like it sets up the world and sees where it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. It's almost like a wind-up toy
right.
that he just kind of lets go.
Right, because even...
Yeah, you're right. It
you're
is
right
a little
about, there
incoherent.
Are some, yeah, there are some beats in this, but even in the middle of this, you had no idea what the ending was going to be about.
Oh, no.
So, which we won't spoil, but from...
Yeah, I don't know how much there is to spoil. I didn't even watch the trailer.
Well, yeah, if you haven't seen this, this is a basic concept. The basic concept is scientists have invented... just a way to shrink people.
Yeah.
Scientists have way to very, very, like 5 inches tall and are presenting it as a solution to, one, a solution to environmental mm-hmm. Problems. But beyond that, because of economic scale,
yeah.
It's a financial boon to people who do it. Because if now all of a sudden you need 1/30th of the food... and 1/30th of the house,
well,
things are cheaper. And
let people discover that because yeah. it does go on this. I mean, well, the IMDb description is a social satire in which a guy realizes he would have a better life if he were to shrink himself.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little vague,
mm-hmm.
but me not knowing anything about this film, I yeah. kept like elbowing Sean like, dude, this is pretty smart.
And
when you were talking about the economical things
right.
and monetary reasons.
That's what sold it. It's not
yes.
Matt Damon wandering around going, holy crap, the strawberries are big. It's it's because it explores.
We can ride ants.
Right. It's yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
So
I'm,
fun.
I'm going to watch that
still
again.
Still fun. You know, watch it with my kids.
You know they still have that at Disney World? It can't be there for another 2 or 3 years. But right now you can go down there and you can climb on the big ant and slide down the leaves. And anyway.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Notice how I say leafs because of the hockey team. I don't even use the word leaves anymore.
No, you're Canadian now.
Yeah. Because they really focus on like... the way the world would be impacted if people started doing this, the opening is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. The first 30 minutes of, like,
yeah.
here's how this, you know, the person that invented shrinking people and how we're going to use it to change the world.
Yeah.
You're just like, what? It's like you're watching a damn fake TED Talk.
Yeah.
It's really like.
Yeah. It's like a thought experiment.
It feels like almost like a documentary.
Yes.
It's not. I mean, it's not, but it almost feels like I'm watching a movie
yeah.
that's telling the story of something that really happened.
Yes.
Doesn't that, like,
yes.
you're like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And
this is how the world would react.
And it's why I like this more than, and there's some Alexander Payne movies I didn't like. I was really not that hot about Nebraska. Bruce Stern was great, but
Bruce Stern
I just
was
thought
great.
It was a kind of a nothing movie.
You're right.
You weren't crazy about The Descendants. I liked
no.
it well enough. And Sideways didn't really do it for me. That's the one that sold him for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is kind of just two assholes
well,
wandering around.
About Schmidt and Election were
yes.
good.
I love both of those. But the reason I like
okay,
Downsizing...
Also, I just want to say, don't
yeah.
forget his film Inside Out, where it's a softcore HBO Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. Just,
yeah, and Inside Out 3. Hey, this yeah. is a guy that climbed up, folks.
Yeah.
The reason I like
softcore Tales from the Crypt.
Why aren't we doing the episode on that? Anyway,
yeah.
The reason why Downsizing is a little bit better than some of his movies to me is because I was so fascinated by that.
Right.
That's how he hooked me enough to kind of explore for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I was so interested in the world that then when the movie became about some different things, which we
mm-hmm.
won't spoil, I was already on board. And
right.
so that worked.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a fun movie to have some conversations about because
yeah.
these very plausible outcomes to shrinking
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
Like some of the ideas they came up with, I'm like, this is genius.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this would happen. It's
absolutely.
Fascinating. It really is. And when the description says social satire, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you could correlate it with. You know, different situations they could, you know, get into and, you know, without spoiling, you know,
mm-hmm.
big people and small people, do they have the same rights?
Yeah.
Should they, since they're the eighth of a size, should they get eighth of a vote?
Well, and
you know what I mean?
And let me tell you this, though. This is not a...
And there's some economy talk.
There is.
Economy, money, banking, housing.
But I'm pretty sure this is not like a literal like parable about the economy or the environment or anything. Those issues are in there, and it's interesting to see where they go. But this isn't, you know, like you still never watched Mother. You're better off.
No. I'm waiting.
Like Mother was just this one-to-one. This guy's Adam and she's Eve and here's Jesus and here's God. This isn't like...
Right.
This isn't a movie that beats you over the head with, here's what we're trying to say. It's just exploring some ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. It, you know, as much as it covered with world issues, like we said, ranging from population and climate change and all these things, there wasn't a lot of preaching.
No, not at all.
It was kind of a great, what would you say? It's kind of in the middle. Like, it's very, it's kind of like, here's some things to think about. What do you think?
Well, right.
It was very ambiguous.
Yes, it leaves.
It wasn't like, climate change is stupid, or over here, guys, the world's going to end.
Well, and you know,
there was no left or right. Really,
that's the thing, you know, being in the middle of so many movies right now, I'm a little, that puts me off a little bit when a movie is really kind of hitting you over the head with a message, even if I like the message, even if I agree with it, it's like, you gotta let me get to it. You can't, you know, you can't just attack people with your opinion and call it a film. This does, Downsizing is a movie that will make you think about some things on your own time. Meanwhile, here's the story we're telling.
Right, right.
Let's talk about the cast, too, while we're here. Matt Damon, you know, has evolved into a guy that I really like watching.
He, you know, I was thinking, seeing the kid, he is a normal dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays a very, very normal dude. And he's one of the few actors that has this ability to go and... you know, being, well, what we just, we, you know, The Great Wall and Jason Bourne.
Yeah, Jason Bourne I've never been crazy about. But, I mean, The Martian wasn't a movie that I loved, but I really liked watching him in it. He was great in our favorite movie of all time, Interstellar.
Yeah.
And even Elysium, which was kind of a dud, he made it work.
Right.
Contagion, he was really good.
Right.
The Adjustment Bureau is kind of a forgotten movie from 2011.
What I mean
that
is,
was
is
really
like
good.
This reminds me, this is the closest I've seen him to when he was in the movie The Informant.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
He's just this mopey guy.
Yeah.
Now, he was a little more eccentric in that movie. But the fact that that someone like Matt Damon can be like the sexiest man alive, and also Jason Bourne, and then go play just some dude, who works at Omaha Steaks, and he pulls it off,
absolutely.
I think he's a special guy.
I
think he's a special guy,
not like his buddy Affleck, just Batman and all over the place.
It's either he's some crazy character or he's some dude from Boston.
Christoph Waltz,
or he has what was wrong with him? He had Down syndrome and he was an assassin. What was wrong with him?
Oh Jesus, yeah, that thing.
The accountant. Did I just spoil that movie?
He didn't have Down syndrome.
I don't know.
It was like
autistic, but also a hit, but also Deadpool.
Yeah,
whatever. Okay, there were some good scenes in that.
There were some good action scenes. Dumb movie.
Now I don't know how much we can spoil. I mean,
I'm telling you that Christoph Waltz is in it.
Oh, Christoph Waltz.
Really funny.
One of the bright spots, definitely.
Yeah.
Playing something very different.
Yeah.
Guys, for once, he doesn't hate Jews in this movie.
Yeah.
He's always just mean German or some mean villain. That's
really,
what I mean by that, guys.
Right. Really funny. Kristen Wiig is in the film. I liked her. I'm not actually sold on her in dramatic moments yet. What's the movie that she did with Bill? Skeleton Twins?
Yeah.
That she was really good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think she's great at drama. Sometimes I think she doesn't quite have it. This was touch and go. Hong Chau, I'm not going to explain who she is in the plot because that would be...
You'll enjoy it.
That would be a spoiler. She did a great job.
Yeah.
They made an odd choice to have her accent and speech patterns. Well, you called it out.
She sounded like Short Round.
She sounded like Short Round.
Well, she sounded like,
In Goonies, with the same actor in Goonies. What's Data?
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, almost you could hear her talking in that same, like, not time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
Like, you're like,
Yeah, is this okay?
Is this on purpose?
Is this all
right? And then I you know, she has done quite a few other things.
And that's not just the way she talks.
Well,
absolutely. That's the way the script was written.
I thought it was like, oh, this is like the dude from Captain Phillips who's never acted
right.
before.
No.
And he's being himself. That's great.
No, not at all.
And I thought maybe she's doing that. Oh, no, she's playing a character.
Yes.
Like,
and
she's
we're not going to get into that this week because we get into it every other week, but I don't know why they made that choice, and I don't think I like it. But the performance was great. I'm not blaming her at all. I think it's a little distracting.
Yeah, it's a little distracting, but she's from Thailand, and she chose to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you're talking about like a thing like where that's not right, or is that what you mean?
I'm saying that I don't know why you made the choice to increase
the
otherness of that character.
Right.
And it's probably not a good reason.
Yeah.
For I'm talking about for the director and the writer.
Yeah, it is. You just have to see it.
Yeah, you have to see it. The
performance
is great.
You'll see what we mean.
It won't ruin the movie for you,
no.
But when it starts, you're a little like, this feels odd.
But then you grow into it, and she is a very fine actor.
Yes.
She had some really good scenes that were really emotional, dramatic, and I was like, oh, she's good. She's really good.
But I want to just let you have some things to say about the eternal, the immortal Udo Kier
in
this movie.
Him showing up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you know Udo from Suspiria. That's kind of, he kind of shows up in, he's been in over like, what, 290 films or something?
Yes.
What was it? Like, oh, I saw him on IMDb. He's been in so many freaking movies. 239 movies.
239 credits.
Because, you know, people love him from Suspiria, but they also love him. If you grow up like I did, just renting really terrible horror movies.
Yeah.
Udo will show up in one of six.
Right.
Like, he just shows up as some creepy German scientist or an Austrian murderer or a Russian general, or he just shows up.
Or as a voice. He's done Batman voices. He's done a lot of video game voices. Yeah.
But he was Dragonetti in Blade.
He's in a lot of Lars von Trier movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Flesh
for Frank.
And
Flesh for Frankenstein. He's Dr. Frankenstein. Blood
Rain. He's in Blood Rain.
Go watch Flesh for Frankenstein. You're welcome.
But he's not like a weird, creepy vampire in this. He's just kind of an old guy. And it's awesome.
He's just a cool German dude.
Because he has so much presence.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. That
was
fun.
He has those magical eyes as well.
That was fun.
He has Dracula eyes. Beautiful blue Dracula eyes.
Beautiful blue Dracula eyes is our new Tuprov. We're going to be at Arcade.
Beautiful blue Dracula eyes, guys.
Check
us out New Year's
Eve. We only do scenes that take place in a cave.
Oh my God. We say,
can we get a suggestion of a location? And someone says, a doctor's office. And we hear, did you say cave? Yes. And we do all of our scenes in a cave.
And we're always accompanied by a harpsichord.
Yes. We know a guy.
Yeah.
Aaron, where are you going to be around the end of the year as we're talking about?
I don't know, pal. I'm going to be out of
22nd.
Town a lot.
Okay.
But now that we have all these
listeners.
Well, I'm home this weekend.
Okay.
And I'm having a good time. If you're listening tonight on the 22nd, I have a really fun show that I'm hanging out at and hosting. It's the Comedy Sauce Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
I run a show every Monday
Pleasure
at Bloomfield in Pleasure Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if you're from Pittsburgh, come check that out. It's going to be a lot of comedians showing up, and we're having a good time, and we're doing that. And then the 23rd, which is tomorrow, if you're listening on the 22nd, we have the Christmas edition of the Stand Up Get Down.
Oh, yeah.
The only Pittsburgh's only stand-up comedy game show hosted by myself and Jason Clark.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an all-star lineup. It's going to be incredible.
I heard you had a great debut performance at 943.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's always fun. Mm-hmm. And so come party with us. Stand-up, get down, comedy game show, 23rd at Arcade Comedy Theater. Yeah, at 10 p.m.
And I'll tell you that next Saturday at Arcade Comedy Theater, I will be there. And
boom.
I don't have many more details on that yet. I think I'm headlining that show.
Let me throw this out there. You are.
Yeah.
And let me throw this out there. Over the holidays, if you want to see some really great stand-up comedy,
yeah,
come to Arcade Comedy Theater and other shows, improv shows, sketch shows.
Absolutely.
Dude, we have Eddie Ift. We just had Eddie Ift last night.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie Ift came into town, did one show at Arcade. Incredible, right? Didn't happen. You know that.
Yeah.
But we also, the 22nd, we have the Christmas roast. At Arcade, yeah. We have on your week, Danny Palumbo and Joe Quazala, from Los Angeles, originally from Pittsburgh comics. Yourself,
Molly Sherrow's on my same show. I am. She's coming back from Los Angeles.
A lot of good comedy.
Yeah, yeah. And just go down
just
to
go
Arcade.
To Arcade Comedy Theaters. Yeah. Just go.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Star Wars since we've already seen it as people are hearing this. Man, wasn't that great?
So good.
It's crazy how...
When Luke took out a lightsaber, maybe?
It's crazy that Iron Man was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that crossover.
I definitely did not think Darth Maul was still alive.
No, not at all. And to have it set during the Civil War was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
That's... We haven't actually seen Star Wars as we're recording this.
I've not seen it
yet.
I bet
it was good, though.
Downsizing was good, though.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
How would you rate it?
Oh, yeah, ratings. See, I was trying to get out, and we hadn't. 8.
Okay.
This is not going to end up, you know.
I'll give it an 8. I'm with that.
I don't. Everything right now is this going to be in the 5 movies I nominate for Best Picture? No. It's not quite there, but it's a good movie, I would tell you to go see it.
Before we get out of here, let me ask you, do you think
something
like this could get nominated for Best Screenplay?
Yes.
I do, too.
This is a tough year. There's a lot of good competition.
But I think it's possible. I think it's a really smart, interesting idea that fleshed out pretty well.
I guess this has to be an original screenplay. I really think the one to beat is Get Out. That has all the buzz.
You're not wrong.
Particularly because I think a lot of people are going, that's the one we'll give it. You know?
Yeah.
That in the eyes of voters, it's not a best picture. It's probably not a best director. But can we, you know, say this is a good movie, we're going to give it the screenplay award? Yes. So I think that belongs to Get Out. But a nomination, sure.
I think I don't ever think that a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's really hard to give a horror movie, you know, best picture. You know,
right.
That never happens.
Not since 91.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Screenplay, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it definitely should be nodded. But
mm-hmm.
but this could be, too. That's what I was going to ask you, yeah.
You know what? You know why you have to thank me?
Why?
Because we're recording this for December 22nd instead of Pitch Perfect 3.
Sean.
That's my Christmas gift to you.
Is this my Christmas gift?
Yeah, so you don't have to watch Pitch Perfect 3.
Thank you, Sean.
Sure.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
For Christmas, I'm going to give you 12 movies to watch that you have not seen.
That's just my whole life.
Then you have to give them back to me.
Okay.
I'm not buying 12 movies.